Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hello, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome to our study here in the book of Acts, chapter 8. So let's get started. You know, like many compelling dramas, you will often watch the development of a character who becomes a villain and then a hero. Acts is not just a compelling drama, though, but it does have its villains and its heroes, and that transformation does take place in the life of this guy we met in sort of a by-the-way manner at the end of chapter 7, a young man by the name of Saul, who will become Paul the Apostle. And he will become a good guy, but that will be many, many miles down a very tough road. Well, verse 58 of chapter 7 told us that Saul was the keeper of the cloaks, so to speak. Saul did a lot more, though, than just manage the coat racks of Stephen's killers. He got a taste for blood himself, Christian blood, and you'll see what I mean here in chapter 8. Verse 1 begins here telling us that Saul approved of Stephen's execution. We even discover that a major persecution was launched that day against these Christians. And we don't know exactly when this was, but somewhere in the late 30s or early 40s of the first century, it became very dangerous to be a Jewish follower of Jesus Christ. We're told that it was a great persecution, localized in Jerusalem, and so fierce that these first Christians began to scatter, run for their lives, all except for the apostles, interestingly enough. And here's what I find interesting. Jesus had told these apostles directly, "Get out of town with the gospel." You could say that this persecution was even used by God to begin to move those first century believers to new fields of ministries, but the apostles stay put. I'm not sure what to think about that. Maybe they should have been the ones leading the charge, but instead, those who ran for their lives ended up in those regions Jesus specifically told his apostles to invade. Well, while there was a mass exodus, we learn that Paul, the coat boy, takes it upon himself to ravage the church. He actually breaks into houses and literally drags these Christian Jews, men and women, off to Jewish prisons. Why? Well, because they won't stop talking about Jesus as the Messiah. We'll see Saul again in chapter 9, but while he's out dealing death, another brother begins preaching life, life in Jesus. We met him as well in chapter 6 as another of the bread boys, and now here he is again with a greater call on his life. His name is Philip, one of my favorite people in the New Testament. He's humble enough to wait on tables, has a strong walk with Jesus, and here Philip is on the road looking for any place and anyone who would like to hear some good news. Now notice a few things about Philip's ministry. He really is the focus of this chapter after all, and you're going to love this, brother. But first of all, he heads for Samaria. Samaritans were looked down upon by most Jews, but not Philip. He's not too good to pass out bread, and he's not too good to bring the gospel, the bread of life, to the Samaritans. So read carefully. You'll see that revival breaks out in this Samaritan city. Yes, there would be problems, but wherever there's life, there's a mess at the same time. Well, as word of the revival spreads, the apostles come north to take a look, and during their stay, the Holy Spirit falls on this outcast race of people, the Samaritans, who have received the gospel. There's even some crazy old sorcerer or magician named Simon who seems to get saved. Now, he has some rough edges to work on, but the leaders of the church are loving enough to confront those issues. I won't be surprised to find this Simon, who used to be a sorcerer, to find him in heaven. Secondly, look at this regarding Philip. He's not done. His next assignment is a one-on-one encounter with a servant from the royal court of Ethiopia. We're told that the man was a eunuch, and I'll just let you look up in your dictionary the painful details on what it means to be a eunuch, but the result is that he would have been considered unclean and not good enough to good Jewish people. And the Holy Spirit leads Philip to share with him, another outcast, and I just love that. No one is beyond Jesus' reach, and Philip knows that, and Philip shows that. And what a setup. I love this story. It says, this high-ranking African is sitting in a moving chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, trying to figure out what in the world it means. Read that scene in verses 26 to verse 39 very carefully. It's filled with humor and drama and exciting celebration as this foreigner comes to Jesus and immediately gets baptized. This had to be one of Philip's favorite stories for his children in later years. But his ministry here in chapter 8 is not over. Third thing that happens here, next he gets a very mysterious airlift from the Ethiopian brother, and he finds himself in yet another region full of people who need to know their sins can be forgiven. And what does he do? Well, he does what he does everywhere. He preached the gospel, heading north along the Mediterranean Sea, village after village, town after town, sort of a country town tour, until he reaches the beautiful city of Caesarea, where he just falls off the radar. Is that it? Is he done? We don't hear any more about his ongoing ministry. What did he do? Where did he go? We've got a world to save here. Well, the continued story of Philip will have to wait quite a few chapters, but I think it's safe to say he just kept sharing Jesus right there in Caesarea. As you read chapter 8, look for the verbs there, words that show movement, action. This is, after all, the book of actions, the book of Acts. And the focus here in chapter 9 is simply that, action, obedience. We see a brother just following the leading of the Holy Spirit step by step from one assignment to the next, to an outcast people group and culture, to a spiritually unclean, spiritually hungry African man, to all those little tiny towns sharing the love of Jesus as he travels, sometimes miraculously assisted, most of the time just walking step by step in his own power to the next ministry venue. He just kept going. Maybe the closing question here in chapter 8 for us is this: am I following Jesus? Now that I believe in him, am I following him? Am I seizing the opportunities he gives me to share his love? I don't know where it will lead us. I don't know where it will lead you, but oh, it's a worthy journey. Let's continue to follow him. There you have it. May God bless you as you allow this amazing study of a humble brother to encourage you to fully follow Jesus Christ the rest of your life. Grace and peace.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.